The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, hi, hello, welcome to the after party where all that matters is lesbian love stories. Sarah, welcome back to our table. Please tell us everything about Finale and her happy future.
Yeah, I need you to write everything from like now to the end of your time.
Which is like 400 years from now.
Planet.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen to them in the future. Who can say?
You.
You're the architect of not just this story, but all stories.
But Ellie is a human girl who Finale, you know, they sort of grew up together.
Yes. This is how I feel.
She comes from a much wealthier family than Finale does. Finale has, her dads are, I think they're dwarves. Yeah. She was adopted by two dwarves. And
so cute.
I love it.
That's why she grew up in the mountains with them. And, you know, she asked Ellie's parents for permission to marry her. And they just, like, straight up said, like, no, you have no assets.
No.
And that's why Finale went to the city to try and, like, find her fortune.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And apparently that fortune was bounty hunting.
Okay, so we know that the first house was the Baba Yaga house. We all listen to spirits here. which is wonderful. And I love that we had to, like, haggle her into a non-cursed home.
Did you really want me to take that house?
No, it wasn't even that. It was like she was trying to do a nice thing, but like the only way she knows how to do nice things is to give people cursed shit. So she was just like, this is what I have, I promise. But it turns out that was not the...
Poor communication means that we went from take care of the rock in the basement, okay, to the rock is a bird, what? To like, the house might move on you, don't worry.
Listen, rock is literally a very large bird that is in the monster manual. I realized now that one had miscommunication.
Oh, you didn't just make that up on the top of your dome?
No, like literally like a rock.
An ROC?
ROC, yes.
Yeah.
It's like mythical, eagle-like, massive bird.
Oh.
Now it all
But, like, wasn't it going to be a bad thing? I just, like, thought it would be funny if the witch had all those things. And then I made it a Baba Yaga house, yes.
But it sounds like this is working. So this sounds like this is the Deus Ex Machina, you know, that's like solving all your problems.
I mean, it was in one way a Deus Ex Machina to get Sarah...
Sure.
Out of the game?
Get her to leave.
But
finally.
Here's the largest carrot.
But I also wanted to demonstrate the fact that you're dealing with someone who probably knows just as much as you and had good reasons to want to talk to you guys, but is not
good at it.
Mm. Yeah, and also, like, not even, like, socially awkward, but, like, I guess.
Just a little kidnappy.
Just, like, doesn't associate with society at all.
Which, like, makes complete sense if her role, like, you know, we can talk about, like, the office of hag and what that means. How is it an elected position? Is it appointed?
Yeah,
it's like dog catcher.
Does every city-state have a hag?
I love this, though. Like, this, it's like a seer, right? Or like, what are those in the Matrix? Like, what is her title?
The Oracle?
The Oracle, yeah.
Yes. Probably. I mean, like, hags know each other. In that way. Listen, there is a lot of, I will say I got a lot of this from Volo's Guide to Monsters, which, so when I first got into 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons, I got a bunch of the original books, and then they released Volos, which is like the first exploration into like a lot of cool shit. So the beginning of Volos is literally talking about societies of different monsters. Ooh. So you have like goblins and bugbears, and then there's like a whole thing about giants and like their whole structure and like which class of giant is more powerful in their whole mythology. And there's a whole thing about hags, and I've been sitting on that since
Volos came out right after the show started. Yeah,
or right before, because I was trying to
There was a hag in one of the pilots we did.
Yes, but we talked in one of Julia's episodes just a couple episodes ago in the after party about Kōʻitoa and the campaign that we played where Eric was DMing for the first time with me, Julia, Jake, and Eric Schneider. But there was, you were saying, some kind of hag planned for that?
Yeah. The last thing that we played was like I did an entire game that was based around Betrayal in the House of the Hill, which is one of my favorite.
It was very fun.
Which is one of my favorite board games. So it was like me revealing like different rooms in this haunted mansion, and it used to be lived in by a hag, and the hag was going to be like the one who controlled everything that was going on. I don't really know what I was going to do next. The mansion was kind of like Howl's Moving Castle, but also like cursed in this sort of way. The name of the game was going to be like Seasons of the Witch, which I was very excited about that. Yeah, but we never actually got to play. That was the last episode before we were done.
Maybe we play it for live show.
Yeah, let's just start in the middle. Yeah. We'll start in the middle of a different campaign.
What if people came to a live show and you were like, yeah, we're rolling different characters?
Yeah.
That sounds
surprise.
I would boo me.
Now we're playing Pathfinder. So get used to that. Yeah.
But a Haunted Mansion bottle episode sounds amazing, and I want it very much. I feel like I could DM that. Like the structure of having rooms and like knowing how the general plot usually unfolds, I can deviate from that. Like that's enough structure, I think,
it. Murder mystery haunted house.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yes.
I love it. Hey, Eric, what's a hag?
So a hag is the monster in the Monster Manual that is usually associated with, like, monstrous witches. The storybook witch. Like, the witch in Hansel and Gretel, for example. Mm. They're usually monstrous. They have a lot of, like, monstrous features and can turn into grandmothers in this way. And they have this really defined structure, which is why her name is as it is. That's why her name was, like, adjective and, like, grandma name and then weird thing at the end. And they always have, like, these places that you wouldn't expect them to live. And they, like, love doing weird shit. I feel like hags are gravitate towards, like, magical barriers, which is always the thing, like, their house is, like, the barriers in between reality plane and maybe the astral plane or the Feywild or whatever. So I thought it would be interesting if, like, she found a rip 999 years ago. She found a rip in reality and then, like, built her house around it. And
she's
then her
just
house
been sucking on that juice.
Sucking on that juice. Oh, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. She's just like, nom, 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 nom. And as the city grew around her, she had to turn into a business to fit in. And, like, she doesn't want to, and that's the entire reason why Infropolis is a fucking metropolis and is, like, New Donk City instead of, like, everywhere else, which Phidopolis is pretty much, like, a classic fantasy city.
Right,
has, like
a medieval castle, all that stuff.
But Infropolis is, like, steampunk town.
Exactly, yes. So I was trying to justify that for a while, and I've always been toying with the reason, like, why do people have better technology than other people? Like, we had motorcycles, and they glowed, and we had these, like, wild machine things. Like, remember that big grappling hook that pulled you guys out of the Bachelorette mansion?
Yes.
Like, that was powered by the same glowing thing. And then I'm like, oh, everything glows because everything has a battery pack of the Undying Light.
But that's, like, a huge reveal. I can see, too, how, like, Phidopolis is the seat of old power. So, of course, they would be more hesitant to adopt new technology from this, like, scrappy upstart city. I like that because in D&D, as in real life, it sounds like older women are, like, you know, maligned and ignored by society. And so, in this case, I mean, the hag is, like, an interesting stereotype in fiction and in, like, gender studies. And so to have this sort of, like, this role be like, okay, well, I'm ignored by society, so good, I can, like, live on the outskirts. Maybe I didn't choose to be there, but I can use this as a form of power and, like, you know, live in a liminal space and just make my kind of living as some kind of, like, ambassador between worlds or conduit.
I love that. And I really like this idea that in our fantasy world, like, because there is magic, you know, like, just because you have the technological advantage doesn't mean you actually have an advantage.
Yeah.
You're, like, living alongside each other.
Yeah.
So just because they have those motorcycles doesn't mean that they're any better than a carriage and a horse. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Which I mean, there were motorcycles, I think, in the original chase, one of the things I had was, like, a motorcycle gang gets in your way.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we never did it, but, like, I justified that even all the way back there. I'm like, some things are mechanical, and I want to have a reason why.
So, Brandon, how much of this is news to you? This is shocking to me. It was shocking to Sarah. But, like, how, you know, we know that some things about Tracy's backstory you don't remember as Tracy, and some of them you do have a sense of. So, like, how much of this was new to you?
Yeah, so I love this because this is my favorite thing about Eric as a DM, aside from, you know, his wonderful story, is that, like, Eric will take, like, things that we say. He'll ask us a question, like, what do we want to do? And, like, take that input and then twist it and mangle it in his brain and make it even better and
maul
wonderful.
It,
I hate
it
how you guys talk about my
twists
brain.
Twists it and mangles it.
Adds umami. Weird.
Ooh, mommy.
No.
Ah,
and then
ew.
It comes out.
I'm editing this, so I get to keep it.
That's how it works.
And then it comes out even better than, like, how I could have possibly imagined it or how.
So it was umami.
It was umami.
Wow. Miso paste makes your eggs so much better.
The fifth flavor.
But I don't know, Eric, how much you used from this or how much you even remember was talking about it. But there, I did a deep dive on Warforged, like, actual written lore from, I think, 3.5, mm-hmm. it is.
Yeah, I feel like it got updated for Ravnica. I haven't touched it because we have already made up all this stuff about Warforged, so I haven't even read it.
Yeah, so, and I wanted to figure out what Tracy's backstory was myself. So I sort of read a bunch of stuff as much as I could, picked out things I liked, and then I think I have it on my computer somewhere. It's like a 30-page document at this point of just, like, backstory, but also, like,
I have,
like,
not done that much preparation.
This is backstory, but there's also, like, a literal script for some starting points.
I'll try to say the things that I remember that are not included, and then I'll say the things that I remember that are included.
Yeah.
You had, like, a whole backstory about, like, Tracy was made by, like, the son of, like, a governor in a governorship, and she was, like, super terrible. And
in canon, there is, like, a family that made Warforged, right? Like, there were...
In D&D canon.
There's, like, a family that is, like, responsible for making this, like, a sort of factory people kind of thing. But in my story, like, they had stopped making Warforged, but there was one son who still knew the method how to make them kind of thing.
I mean, this is kind of, like, all in my head. Some
and
of
this
is
all not canon, everything I'm saying,
JTP. Some of what I've been trying to think about, like, what was Tracy doing pre-centering? And I guess we haven't really... touch that yet, but we're creeping slowly closer.
Yeah.
But this was also tied into the original episode zero, which is that Johnny put his hand on Tracy and booted him up again.
Right.
So ta-da, the reason why is that Johnny literally put Undying Light energy into Tracy's battery pack.
Oh, 10-4.
Exactly, yeah. So this is pretty much everything that was tied together. I've been thinking about this for a really long time.
Yeah.
And regardless of where the world is and, like, what has happened to Johnny throughout this entire story, I mean, I've always wanted this to happen. And I think that the machinations of the arc of this world will still move forward regardless of how our original three characters are living their life.
We're living in the same world regardless of who the main characters are in our story, you know, and there are still consequences to things that used to happen, and stuff we encounter now can still help explain things that happened in the past.
Exactly.
Yeah. You asked me at one point, how are Warforged made? And so I took a little bit of stuff from the canon, but it's not really well described in the canon. I bullshitted some stuff, and it was basically, it was like, you can put all these ingredients together. Like, you need some wood from a special tree, and you need, like, some sap, and you need some various metal parts and blah, blah, blah. But, like, the thing that puts it together is this, like, energy coming from another planar dimension.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, pulling everything together, I mean, we've learned a lot about Warforged in the, we learned that you can make, like, exoskeletons from the Bachelorette tournament. So there is a way to build them, and someone has. It's not Salmon, but someone did. And now we know how they're powered. So I guess, like, we finally, to some extent, answer the question, what's the difference between Tracy and Alabaster?
Yeah, sort of. I don't think Tracy still knows, but exactly. Like, because on the face of it, Alabaster is still sentient, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't think Alabaster has a soul.
Oh, wow.
Hot take. I mean, kind of. Like, what constitutes a soul? Alabaster follows what Cole says, and Tracy has his own force of will. This isn't the good place. Like, I'm not trying to get into, like, what constitutes free will.
But
there's a difference between an NPC and a PC.
But it's also, you know, somebody or a person / construct made 1,000 years ago versus one made today. Like, we don't always recover the full, like, it took us, you know, centuries to rediscover, like, algebra. You know what I mean? Like, there could have been things done in the past or a part of the process that's missing now. And I guess we'll figure out what that is as time goes on, hopefully.
Yeah. It seems like this hag has some knowledge of the past. Apparently, Warforged are very murderous.
I know. We don't know what that's about. Like, an uprising and, like, murder spree during the centering? This is new.
Which I feel like you're just attacking me, Eric.
No, I mean, this is, again, this is connected to stuff that we talked about in the Bachelorette party. I mean, we saw the video of Warforged doing stuff. Warforged escaped the Colosseum. Tracy did also say a bunch that he was going to chop off her limbs. So, like, I just want to say, well, he was
posturing because he was trying to figure out what the best method to get out of these chains would be. And it was clearly not posturing being murderous.
I was waiting for you to say, like, I want to roll an intimidation check, but you're just keep like, I want to chop off your limbs.
But that is one thing that I was very aware of during this session is, like, you know, Brandon and I are so suspicious of everybody else because so many people are out to get us or out to make our lives harder.
I realize that, and I'm trying to, like, put, like, a person who doesn't know how to live their lives in front of you who genuinely... And I would say, like, genuinely wants to figure out what you guys are figuring
out. But she did literally kidnap me.
Yeah, for sure. Big thing.
For sure. You know, you never asked me how you got shut down.
Oh, yeah. How did I get shut down?
Since I'm telling you this now, it will never come up again. But Casey had, like, a taser that shuts off mechanical
things.
Fantasy
taser?
Yeah, he's zapped.
So I thought that you were going to, like, shake down Casey and be like, what did you do to me? And then he would have given you the taser that shuts off mechanical things.
Casey just rolled over. He is not being paid enough for this.
I regret my actions. I need that taser.
No, well, now, I mean, I just told you it exists, so I can't give it to you now.
It's like in Jeopardy when Alex sort of starts shaking his head and they try to change their answer.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, once I've given you a negative response, you can't change your answer.
Yeah, exactly.
But I get it. And, like, I sensed from Eric you growing more and more desperate as you were like, I'm a good person. And I was like, okay.
You were really struggling.
I thought, and I was putting myself, because I was pretty much Franny this entire time. Mm-hmm. I thought that if I made your life very good, Tracy, I know I kidnapped you, but, like, I'm trying to, it's because I don't trust you and your whole steez. I figured when
you
she said.
You just made him more pissed because you're defaming Warforged.
Such a gaslight situation.
She, if she is truly 1,000 years old, like, maybe she's seen some shit. So it's like,
yeah, but Tracy's never gonna think someone else is more right about him than him.
That's a good point about Tracy.
You cannot kidnap
you
someone
kidnapped
and say
him and chained him to a bed.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm putting myself in the character's shoes.
No, like, we know. Yeah.
I was trying to give you guys, like, a fun ally, and I also realized, like, you guys need to get over all of your trust issues and try to trust this person who sucks.
Listen, for us, the fact that we didn't kill anyone or burn a house down or start a combat situation is pretty good. So all in all, I think we got out of here in, like, a pretty short amount of time. Went from an enemy that Inara is about to stab to, like, okay, we don't have to trust each other yet, but we are strategically aligned enough that I can promise to her that we're going to do a thing that she wants us to do that we were doing already in exchange for hopefully shutting down this match before it has a chance to take my oat cake away.
I keep waiting for you to, like, pop out and, like, stab Gordon Lighthammer. Be like, hey, guys, I gotta go, like, walk oat cake. Like, see you later. And then you just go over to his hotel and stab him.
Don't think I haven't thought about it, but, like, wouldn't creative then spin that as, like, murderous, you know, Cole sold me as a potential recruit, so, like, wouldn't they try to conscript me into their fantasy?
No, and I guess, like,
there's consequences.
Grant Lighthammer's not a bad person.
Yeah, he's just an actor.
Yeah,
like,
he just kind of leaned into it, and he didn't do what you wanted.
No, I know.
I'm just like, there is a way, and I thought of this when I was kidnapping and shutting down one of my players. I'm like, there's still a way where this breaks that, like, people don't know that Tracy got kidnapped. If you guys didn't go with the original plan that you were going to do, Tracy going back and being an artifact again. If you guys, like, all right, we got to sneak away and let's meet back at Finale's house. I thought that if you did that, oh man, Tracy got into shenanigans. I'm sure we'll see him in the morning. And then you were like, oh, beans. And then you go over to Electro Shack during work hours, and that's a totally different interaction probably. Mm. So I don't know. Like, there's still a way for if you did want to break off and bother Gordo, then you totally could have.
Yeah, but there's just no way that I'm going to do anything if Tracy is not, like, we wouldn't split up willingly, and knowing that he's gone, like, of course we're going to run after him.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
I want to be extremely clear, Eric. I am no way trusting or in friends with this hag.
Fine. No, totally fine.
I am using her strategically and literally using her.
Sure. I mean, she's a being of unlimited power. What do you do?
There is no world where someone kidnaps me and then I trust them.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, listen, I think that's a fair line to draw.
I will say that in Furious 7, Jason Statham is the guy who's killing everybody. And then in Furious 8, Jason Statham becomes the part of the crew.
He becomes part of the family.
Yeah, he goes to the family barbecue.
And when I'm saying there are certain lines, personal boundaries I have, and one of them is kidnapping.
What if I did a Jason Statham voice instead of like old Jewish grandmother
like,
smoking six
packs? Think about Fast and the Furious.
Franny's like, have you seen this film series?
We have come around on Greg, so we are capable of changing our minds.
Greg has never kidnapped
Greg
me.
Greg has never, though, as I was about to say, kidnapped anybody.
He's just been mildly unpleasant.
There are things I can forgive, and kidnapping is not one of them.
That's fine. I just, we've talked a lot about like who people's friends are and like trust in this show. So it was like, I was trying to give it a different thing.
I love what you did.
And she like truly wants to be everyone's friend here. She's like I smell it on you. You guys like know what's going on. And like, I have some questions because much like you two, no one actually knows what's happening in the world.
Yes.
Like in the larger arc of the story. So I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah. But it's good to have an ally. And I'm glad that we have this, you know, ripcord, literally, where we can call on somebody or ask for her knowledge. No one is telling us anything about the past. The only thing they like more than referencing the centering is stopping at the word the centering before saying anything more. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity to learn from her. I'm just sorry the finale can't come with us because she is fulfilling her dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be super useful to have her when we confront Alonzo again, because I don't think we can tackle him.
Yep, nope, we
at
can't.
All.
That was like when you go to the final boss in a video game and he like beats the hell out of you and then you're just like, well, I'll go somewhere else and I'll make a lot of potions. Yeah.
I feel like I have to grind. I feel like I have to grind.
Maybe let's take a step back here.
Yeah. I want to talk about Sarah for a little bit.
Yeah.
Sarah,
yeah.
You're my favorite role player.
That's
of
not,
all time.
No.
There was a
you're
joke
very good,
right before we set up the recording, one of Sarah's friends tweeted like, no one is good at Dungeons and Dragons. And Sarah was like, actually, I'm good at Dungeons and Dragons. And it was a total joke. But the thing that I wanted to reply, but I did not know her. So I'm like, no, but actually, Sarah's very good at Dungeons and Dragons. And it has been awesome having you for the last three episodes. You're such a good role player. And now I get to give you like a good, happy ending.
Yes, I really appreciate it. I had a lot of fun. This was really nice. I like playing game.
Game is good.
Game good.
I like game.
You could call me a gamer girl.
Oh no.
God, this, if there's any time, I'm gonna plug the Patreon early. There are so many jokes that we could not fit into any of these episodes. If
oh
I can
God.
Tell you, please subscribe to the Patreon at the blooper level so that you can listen to our great jokes that we could not feasibly put into the real world.
Yeah, we had a good time this whole time I was here.
I really want to talk about the most horrifying foods to watch yourself eat, but I don't know if that made it into the final cut yet.
No. Let's just do it.
All right. So what are
soup
the most
and mirrors.
So what are the most horrifying foods to watch yourself eat? Sarah, you told us a haunting anecdote about ramen.
Yes. I was chatting with my friend who lives in England on the Skype.
Yes, as you do.
And I was in college at the time, so I was eating ramen.
Oh.
And I was looking at myself in the little corner, just like slurping up these noodles.
Oh, no.
And I was like, this girl should hate me. I am disgusting.
It's just like flecks of broth on your screen.
And I was like, Eleanor, I gotta turn the camera off.
I would think anything that's like a sandwich that overflows.
Oh, yes.
Like watching yourself drop food.
Like a pastrami sandwich or something.
Yeah, or like something that's like a little more viscous, like maybe a chili burger.
Tuna
yeah.
melt.
Yeah, definitely tuna.
I felt like an ice
too
cream
much
sandwich.
Tuna, you could say.
Like an ice cream, or sorry, an ice cream cone. Because like your tongue leaves your mouth, not a great
start.
Yeah,
there.
That's
it's
no
just
good.
Out there.
It's just
that's
out
no
there. And then you have to like have your head at weird angles. And I just feel like I would look like one giant neck, like a worm.
Eating in front of like a mirror or a camera that you can see, that's just like hard.
I've heard they do that in the CIA and the FBI. That's their torture
technique. Oh, no.
You can eat, but you have to eat in front
you
of a mirror.
You have to watch yourself, motherfucker.
Well, Sarah, you are forever part of the JTP family.
Aww.
And can you let people know where they can follow your excellent work online and tell you how great you are?
Sure. I'm most active on Twitter, where you can find me at at.
The, huh? What?
At?
Shift 2? Huh?
Sarah M. Hop, SARAHMHOP, because my last name is Hopkins.
Nice.
It makes sense.
I like
tell
it.
Tell us about Principles of Magic.
Oh, that's my comic. It's my webcomic that I draw about three teenage girls who go to a school where they have to learn to suppress their magic. And it's about friendship and growing up. And it is available at principlesofmagic.com for free. I update 2 times a week.
My favorite part about that is that magic is definitely not like a symbolism for something else. Because like if it was, that'd be bad.
I mean, it's symbolism for a lot of things, like Zootopia.
Oh, shit. All right, that's it. We're done.
That's
the end of the show.
That's a wrap on Sarah. Thank you.
Bye.
We love you. And now we'll let you go create 4 times more frequently than we do, which is terrifying.
Wait, I gotta open the door. Creak.
Bye, Sarah.
Walk, nom, nom.
Well, Sarah's eating cookies. She's walking away.
Where'd you get the cookies?
Vroom,
hey,
vroom.
Don't take my.
Oh no, Sarah hit a tree.
Bye.
Thank you again for joining us in this episode and this after party. We are so stoked to see what happens next and to bring it to you 2 weeks from now. Please, like Eric said, the bloopers for this episode are off the chain. So go on over to patreon.com/jointhepartypod and join us at any level. We'll get you access to our Discord, but the bloops in particular are very good for this episode. We are also on Twitter and Instagram at Join the Party Pod, where we share photos from behind the scenes of recordings like this with fun guests. And on Twitter, Eric posts fascinating and baffling memes and tweets like every other day. And the ones on the in-between days I can understand, but then suddenly I'm like, where did that come from? What? And it's like you're a hag reaching through a liminal space into the humor zone.
Into the meme
We've
zone.
We've been cruel to Eric today.
The meme zone.
What I'm trying to say is...
the meme space.
It's like you can reach through to the essence of humor and like lap it up and nom nom nom. And you just have more access to it than the rest of us. Anyway, Twitter is great. At Join the Party Pod. And finally, you can mail us cookies. I don't know. Maybe that would be great. I would love for you to do that. I'm just saying, maybe. At jointhepartypod.com, you can find our P.O. Box address. You can find transcripts of every dang episode. And you can find our start page. We made a little landing page for anybody who wants to start the show, catch up on the old arcs, learn about us. That's jointhepartypod.com.
And they're not repeat clip shows. They're original content.
Oh,
go
yeah.
Go listen to them.
Eric,
they're very good.
And Brandon collaborate on scripts and sound design for these beautiful recaps of our past arcs. And it may or may not be playing toward the end game. It may or may not have like a meta narrative. They're very good. So if you haven't listened to the catch-up episodes, go on over to jointhepartypod.com/start. So that's it for us. Thanks for listening.
Bye, guys.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.